You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
If you got your Bibles, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. During this particular time of year, it is a season for us to reflect. There's going to be some hurting people here today. We have had several funerals here of late where this will be the first Thanksgiving where there'll be an empty chair there, and I hope that you'll find some hope and comfort in this. Now, not everything about Thanksgiving is always good when you go down your list. I got a confession. If you want to gift me with anything, you know, like a meal, do not put the dirt clods in the gravy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We call it giblet gravy. Midget gravy. What is it? Giblet. One of the worst tastes, one of the worst experiences of my childhood was when my mom put those dirt clods in there, and I was a little bitty. And I even had Katrina look it up last night. You realize those are non-identifiable products. I mean, it's something like some of you Cajuns would just come up with off the cuff. And you don't ask a Cajun family what's in the food. You just receive it with thanksgiving and pray for the Pepto. I am thankful for a lot of things, but the dirt clods, because that's what they do. That you just bite them, and it's just like biting into a rock that explodes in your mouth, and it takes you 45 minutes to get the taste out. Had to go lick a steer's hiney just to get the taste out of your mouth. Once again, visitors, I apologize. I am highly medicated right now. But here's what's interesting. When Peter, who is one of my favorite Bible characters, was writing two of his letters to the churches, to believers, I don't think in a million years he would have ever guessed that what he started writing was absolutely the most memorable Thanksgiving message an apostle could write. I mean, just look at this. It looks like it was written for Thanksgiving. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of his great mercy that he has given us the new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, for us. You are right now, believers, being guarded by God's power through faith for salvation, for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. There's three quick things I want to point out this morning before we as a family take the Lord's Supper together. Number one, what about mercy? We can be thankful for mercy. And you know, the thing about mercy is this. There's a lot, to be said about mercy. Do you realize in Greek and Hebrew, which I don't speak, but scholars will tell us that it is very difficult to translate the words. Now, sometimes, depending on which Bible you've got, it may come up like compassion. God is compassion. God has loving kindness. God has favor. He has this steadfast love. But basically, at the end of the day, the biblical definition of mercy is a gift of God's undeserved kindness and compassion. And I'm telling you, one thing about mercy is mercy comes to us just as we are. Mercy sees us not for what we're doing, what we've done, our future mistakes, but it sees us for what we can become. That's the cool thing about this particular church. No matter how rough you are, we have had a standing policy for 21 years. Whoever you are, you don't have to check life baggage at the door. And we look at you as Jesus looks at you, and I hope everybody will embrace this concept. But no matter what you smell like, no matter what you look like, no matter your history, when you walk through that door, we see you as Christ sees you and what God can create in you. Now, amen. Yeah, that's good. Now, I haven't told this story in a long time, but John, you could probably tell it. You've heard it so many times. Y'all remember the story about my granddaughter Lily with the Skittles and the poop? It's a great story. So when Lily was 3 years old, we went to, she just went everywhere with me. And we had a ranch up in DeKalb at the time and a couple in Lindale, and she just was my partner. So she was three, and so we were at Emory Livestock one day, and she loved Skittles. But what she would do is she'd go in there and get a Skittle. And, of course, all the foresters, they just took care of her. Just whatever the flower wants, the flower gets. And so she went in, and she would take those Skittles. I'd open them, and she would pour them in her front pocket, shirt pocket. So we were sitting right on the front row. And she bent over to get something, and every one of those Skittles just rolls out like it's a conveyor belt. And they're all right there. It was in the spring of the year. We're on the front row. A cow comes through that is not house broke. And mister, when she turns, she let it all go right on the Skittles. Lily looked at me. She looked at the Skittles. She's going for it. You know why? Because she saw beyond the poop and saw beautiful Skittles, what they could become in her tummy after she blew them off. That's a picture of mercy, guys. That is a picture of mercy. You see, the thing is, we are, and I taught this last couple of Wednesday nights ago when I was there, you realize that we are naturally in bad shape. Prior to Jesus, we're in bad shape. We don't have a God brain until the Lord wakes us up. And so in Ephesians 2, there is a statement, like the rest, we are by nature deserving of wrath. We don't come into this world as good people, and the world corrupts us. We come into this world as sinners by nature, sinners by choice, and if anybody disagrees with me, go check the nursery. Ain't nobody having to tell them how to beat each other to death. It just comes natural. We're sinners by nature, sinners by choice. Peter, of all people, knew this, even though he didn't know he was writing our Thanksgiving message. He, at times, I'm sure Satan would remind him of what a jerk he had been to Jesus. What a foolish man he had been there. At the almost right before the crucifixion, when a young girl had accused him of hanging out with Jesus, and he just had a good old Baptist cussing fit, right? Peter was a man with a past as well, and so he knew about mercy. And the thing about mercy, just let me say this before I move on to the next one. You know, mercy, because of God's mercy and His forgiveness, God sees and wants us to have a real relationship. That, some of you grew up in religions, or maybe a particular denomination, where it was more about the external stuff. And as long as you had your Sunday morning checklist, we show up, pay our entry fee. That was funny. I don't care what. You drop that entry fee, we sit down, and we'll pray when we're supposed to pray. But, and again, we're not so much hyper-traditional here, but a lot of times you are. And guys, that's just hollow, man. If you haven't got a seven-day-a-week relationship with your Heavenly Father, that is just so sad and useless. One of the things Jesus did immediately, right out of the gate in His ministry, was He started irritating a group called the Pharisees. They were rabbis. But in Old Testament Jewish tradition, you did not call him Father. He was Creator. He was Yahweh. He was Redeemer. But Jesus broke the tradition and said, no, he's my dad. And then Paul, who was one of those Pharisees, later would say, Abba, Daddy. Now, I got to be honest with you. I moved from Dada to Daddy to Dad pretty quick. Now, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's my favorite title, to be honest with you. Well, now I'm Big Daddy to all the grandchildren. So we still got the Daddy in there. It is one of the most endearing terms I could ever be called. Right, Paul? We love that. And to hear, we got baby Quill coming up. I understand. He's not quite 6 months, and he doesn't have a full-time job yet. But I get it to a certain extent. But think about it. When Micah, our oldest, I don't know, he's two maybe, we had bought him, he loved Yosemite Sam. He loved Yosemite Sam. So we bought him a doll that was taller than him. And so he'd drag that doll around, and one day he walks up to me in his drawers, his diaper, and of course a pistol. We always had a diaper and a pistol on. And he sets that doll down beside me, him, near the same height. And he looks at that doll. He looks at me. Da-da. Man, I'll take it. But you see, that's one of the things Peter is pointing out to us right now, because of God's mercy and his forgiveness. And that other cousin that goes along with all that, grace, we are absolutely in a 24/7 relationship. Now, are some of your traditions good? Absolutely. In some of your churches, absolutely. I preached at a Methodist church, and I was a fish out of water. A good friend of mine, ag teacher, where I first taught, and they were in youth ministry over there, I know not every Methodist church does this, but I had no idea. Stand up, say this. So I did it like a song I don't even know. I just mouthed it. I didn't want to look stupid. I didn't know what the creed they was talking about. Is that a bad thing? Absolutely not. As long as you take that creed or whatever you're quoting or whatever religious tradition and make sure it is a full-blown 24/7 relationship where you can holler at your daddy at any time. That's mercy. What about hope? We can be thankful for hope. Many of you know my friend, Brad Glenn. He's a bootmaker. Well, he's actually into any and everything. But he got radically saved. Had gone through a few marriages, federal charges, and Mr., when he found the Lord, he found the Lord. But one of the coolest things I ever got to say to Brad Glenn was he introduced me to his new fiance. Her name is Hope. Finally, there's hope for Brad. Give you a quick run through. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a, get this right, living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Are any of y'all tickled how the election turned out? I'm glad. But Trump ain't your hope. Jesus is your hope, people. Y'all quit rubbing that in other people's faces that your guy got it, as if he is going to be the one riding the white horse that David talked about. He ain't. Our Lord Jesus is. Peter called it a living hope. Now, let me give you an explanation for that. It is very important sometimes, more so all the time, that you check the context when a word like that comes up. And you know what was happening? Peter was literally dealing with a bunch of folks that he and they assumed they would be murdered for their faith. Peter would be killed by Nero not long after writing his second letter to those churches. And so his people lived in a constant state of fear and a little bit at times of hopelessness. But he wanted them to know, regardless, God's not a deal breaker. And you have a living hope. We know 100% that we will be with the Lord. And regardless of how much suffering, regardless of what might be going on right now, God's got it. And let me tell you why that's important. We buried one of our men this week. A month ago, not even quite a month, I buried Micah. Allison's father died, John Blackman. Young. Active, good man. But here's what's going to happen. My family, your family, and even those of you that are lost people that I don't know about, you're going to walk into an awkward situation this first Thanksgiving without them. And you got to know, if they knew the Lord, you don't walk in there without hope. And listen, any preacher in this room, Matt, we know when we bury someone, whether or not the people out there are believers. We can sense it right off. Because to so many people, right, Peggy, they're just automatically assuming, this is it, he's gone, we'll never see him again. But in a believer's life, that can't even be a reality. Back away from that. We have a living hope. And regardless of how strange things get, tough things get, no matter how much grief you will feel, hold on to living hope. The Apostle Paul had to deal with that garbage all the time. There was a group of dummies already. We got a bunch of them now. Excuse me. In Christian circles, they don't believe Jesus physically, bodily, rose from the dead. And a lot of them are teaching on stages and behind pulpits right now, just like us. And they said it's symbolic. Jesus wants you, fat and sassy and happy. And it doesn't have to be a physical bodily resurrection for that to happen. They're called progressive Christians, and I don't even know why they're called that. But Paul said, look, if Christ had not been raised from the dead, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But people, I got good news for you. They still hadn't found his body because he ain't there. Peter wrote an amazing Thanksgiving celebration in that letter because the final thing he was thankful for and reminded those folks, regardless of what's coming at you, you could be thankful for your inheritance. And he describes this inheritance in three words. It is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and that's what you've got to look forward to. Now, depending which scripture version you use, the inheritance, and everybody in this room knows what an inheritance is. You can't get it right now. And some of your parents do some things to kind of ease you into that inheritance. But an inheritance is something you're going to be given. And according to chapter 1, verse 4, it's not going to go away. And some of you are going to inherit things that are going to break, that are going to depreciate. I'm going to inherit my granddaddy's old truck. And Jeremy, you'll be excited. It is a white Chevrolet, 1964. And do you know one thing it's doing right now? Even though it's my inheritance, it's rusting. Because that's what stuff outside of eternity does. He used words like perish. So that means it can't be destroyed. Money, property, stuff can be. Had a buddy that inherited a truck like, I'm not a mechanic, but he inherited a pickup and was so excited and sentimental, but he couldn't keep it running. That's not going to happen in heaven. He talks about the word spoil, the second word he used, undefiled, has to do with fruit. And so that's something that they could relate to. We went on a little trip, last week to WRCA finals. We get home. Can you turn this off so honey can't hear it? Anyhow, some dummy put something in the trash. She's back there. She's sick too. We get home. First thing flies in my nose is a little gnat. And if you got gnats inside your house, go to your trash can. And then go beat your husband. It's not going to rot. And then finally, the other word that he used, fade away. I have, in my old age, developed an addiction to certain clothes. And I will wear that shirt until it falls off my body. But you know what? Eventually it will. I mean, it's just going to be threadbare. And that was the other word that he was using. It's just not going to go away. Our inheritance is not going to perish, spoil, fade away. You know who needs to hear that? You people that are hurting right now. This sickness that you're dealing with, this loss that you're dealing with, financial, family, relational, hang in there, Christian. You've got an inheritance waiting. And you know what? There's a word there. We're very pro-cop, pro-military here. But I love it when Peter used words to just, they enhanced the reality of the truth that he was saying. He said, I am thankful for that our heritage is reserved and guarded. The whole idea of it being guarded was a military term. And they were around Roman soldiers all the time. They fully understood what kind of bad boys those guards were. You didn't mess with them. Peter used the same word. It's just like, you know how some of you Texans and your flag, I dare you to come and take them. You try to take my guns. Come on. It's the same word. They're guarded. And you know what? One thing, and then I'm going to give it to you, is you and I have zero contribution to that inheritance. There's nothing you can do to earn it. And there's nothing, in case you've dipped your toes in a little bit of self-righteousness, there's nothing you can do to hang on to it. It is a gift of God. Your salvation, your eternal life, there's nothing you can do to contribute to it. And that's where a lot of people have a hang up, because everything in this life has terms and conditions. Your salvation does not. It is a free gift of God. And you know what? You didn't do anything to get saved. You can't do anything to stay saved. And that is a very abused doctrine. I know it is. We talked about it down there a couple of Wednesday nights ago. A lot of people don't understand that. Well, so it's just grace then too? Yes. Yes. It's mercy. And we have no, at times, concept of what that's like. We'll close. Hey, Tony Evans Love that guy. He talked about a situation. It was a single mom, and she was in trouble. She drove like most single moms. Like her tailpipe was on fire all the time. So she got pulled over, and it was bad. She was going about 70 in a 30. May have been a daycare thing. I don't know. But anyhow, they gave her a ticket, and when she went to see the judge, he said, here's what it's going to cost. She says, I don't have it. Is there anything I can do? And he says, ma'am, this is the fine based on the speed limit. And she said, I guess I'm going to have to go to jail. I don't have it, and I don't have any family here. The judge stood up. Here's the story. The judge stood up from behind the bench, walked to the corner of his desk, and he took off his robe. And he walked down, put on his coat, walked down and stood beside her and handed her the cash to pay her debt. And he walked back up, put his robe on, sat down. He said, do you have any questions? She said, no, sir, thank you. And with a rack of his gavel, he declared her innocent, bills paid, all square. That's mercy. There was nothing I could have done to have ever created a relationship with God. I couldn't have been good enough, churchy enough, Bible enough. One day, some 41 years ago, Lord came to me when I was in a bad spot and said, you want mercy? You want freedom? You want forgiveness? My son has taken care of that. This morning, if you have not invited him into your life, if you have not embraced the freedom that comes with his mercy, please do that today. There's going to be some prayer partners down front scattered all around the tables. I'm going to pray. If you're here this morning and you are a believer and you're kind of at a spot where you're comfortable taking the Lord's Supper, you might want to hang back and watch our people. All believers are welcome to the table. All believers are welcome to the table. Let's pray, guys. You are our Father. You are our Daddy. And we bless you. Blessed be. Lord, thank you for Peter, the writings this morning. 100% sure that he didn't realize, even when he wrote it, that he was doing a Thanksgiving sermon. So as we approach this season, let us be grateful, not because we're told to on one day of the year, but because out of a grateful heart, we worship you and we thank you for your mercy, of which we'll never understand. If there's someone sitting here this morning that has not embraced that mercy, invited you in, I pray, Father, I pray, don't let them leave, that they'll seek out somebody to pray with them, or from right where they sit, they'll say, Jesus, I'm a mess, I'm a sinner, I need your mercy, please forgive me. Jesus told us to do two things perpetually until he comes back. Baptize, the two physical things, baptize and do the Lord's Supper. We're perpetual forgetters, so he said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I did, why I did it, who I did it for. We welcome you to the supper. If you want someone at the table to pray with you before you take it, just ask them and they'll be happy to. But we do ask that you'll embrace the solitude and the seriousness that we should be experiencing in this moment. And you'll say visiting until you get outside. Lord Jesus, again, we thank you for your sacrifice. We are so blessed to be your kids. And we pray that we'll receive this with as much gratitude as we can possibly muster up. Amen.
Hey, this is Roger Barkley Jr. You're listening to the best in Christian country music right here on HLEradio.com.